Welcome to the Anything Goes podcast. My name is Anna Richards, and this is my sacred space to have honest, real, empowering, fun, and big conversations. My mission is to not just motivate and inspire with each episode, but to push boundaries and teach you how to live your own life sovereignly, boldly, and unapologetically. I aim to bring you humor, depth, differing of opinions, and more. But one thing I can promise you is this is the podcast where anything goes.
Hello, loves. A quickie. Before you listen to this episode, I just want to preface it by saying I know I mentioned it in the Welcome Back episode. However, I sat and recorded this last year, like June, July, about August of last year, July of last year. So I have not gone back and listened to it. I never do. Like I said, I always say I sit, I hit record, I speak my truth in the exact moment as it is. It is perfect. It is done. It is whole. So I recorded that episode. I just want to let you know, because obviously the event was in June last year, but it was still so fresh and real for me when I had sat and recorded that episode. So I hope you enjoy it. I absolutely will be giving a recap of my second half Ironman I did in December in episodes to come. But yeah, grab a favorite cup of your hot or cold beverage and enjoy.
Hello, loves. Welcome back. Where did we leave off? No, I know exactly where we left off. It is such a privilege and pleasure to be recording this episode. I'm currently sitting here on a Tuesday night. I have my gin in hand and it just feels so nice to be back to committing to these conversations, committing to you, and just back with the mic, to be honest. Now, as you can tell from the title of the episode, I am going to be putting a bow, as I always say, on the half Ironman I did back in June. 6th of June, 2021. I don't know what year or month you were listening to this particular episode. And the last episode that I did, which was back in June, 2 days before the half Ironman, was the biggest, most emotional, most vulnerable episode I will ever share. It was titled My Story That Broke Me, Then Made Me and Inspired Me Into My Half Ironman. Now, if you haven't listened to that episode yet, go and listen to that one, because it's important to me. I feel like, yeah, it's why I did this half Ironman, and I am about to share my whole day with you, how it all went and just the magic and the lessons in it. I don't even know. I didn't necessarily have, if you followed me over my triathlon season so far, I've done one season, 7 triathlons. You'll know that I love to share lessons. Something always comes up in my race, always. And for the half Ironman, actually, no, it did. I was going to say, I don't know necessarily that it was a big life lesson, just really a beautiful breakthrough moment, but there was, so I'll get into it. So go back and listen to that episode if you have not listened yet, and then come back to this one and we can have this beautiful, fun conversation about the day, and it will just mean so much more to you and it will mean so much more to me. So June the 6th, 2021, the day that I feel like I firmly affixed my crown and that motherfucker's never coming off. I completed my very first half Ironman. I actually said to a friend today, just the way that, you know, at the moment I'm speaking up and really using my voice and platform, and I laughed to a girlfriend and I said, I don't think these, you know, and I'm copying a lot of criticism and hate. And I said, I don't think these girls and guys that are coming after me understand when a woman does a half Ironman for fun, they shouldn't fuck with her. It's just a different level of mentality. But yeah, so June 6th, I finished my first half Ironman. It was 6 hours and 9 minutes. I was going for a sub-6 time. That was kind of like the absolute dream goal, but I did not, could not, and I'll get into this, account for that ride. 70 kilometers, it's a 90-kilometer ride. but 70 kilometers of it in Cairns, which is where I did my half Ironman, is hills and headwinds. But I'll back it up. So just so you know, in case you don't go back or you don't know the distances and things of a half Ironman, it's called a 70.3. And that's the amount of, I think it's miles or kilometers, but anyway, that's the distance basically that you cover. Yeah, that's miles, right? So 70.3 is the miles. And so kilometer wise, you do a 1.9 kilometer ocean swim straight into a 90 kilometer bike, straight into a half marathon. So a 21.1 kilometer run. And I did that in 6 hours and 9 minutes. Now, I have a phenomenal coach. He's amazing. I didn't do it off the back of like, I just didn't do it like, yeah, I think I want to do it and then dive into it. I had done 7 triathlon, which is super new to me as a sport as well. Just go back and listen to the first one anyway. I go into all that, how I'm not an athlete, but weekend warrior. But I did have an amazing coach. So 6th of June, I wake up pumped. I cannot explain it. So everybody was saying to me, like, all athletes and Iron Men and Iron Women, and everyone was coming to me saying, you know, Anna, coach even called me and he said, you know, you're probably not going to sleep and this, that, and the other, and you're just going to be so nervous and just go with it, right? It's not going to impact your performance on the day, which, by the way, was some of the best advice I received because it did give me such a calmness. But I have never felt so ready for something in my entire life. And my beautiful best friends, Georgie and Kyle Hubbard, were with me, had flown up with me to Cairns to support me and just be my number one support crew. And they were with me the days prior and obviously then a couple of days after. We stayed to relax and recover. And they were just saying to me, Anna, you're just so calm. Like, are you nervous? Like, you're just so calm. And I said, I'm just ready. Like, I'm just so ready. I've never been so ready in my life. And I suppose there's a lesson here when you are preparing for something or you have a goal that you're hoping to attain and you put in the work. Like, guys, I put in the work. I was training so hard. I followed my program to a T. I trusted my training. I trusted my coach. And so on the day, it just paid dividends. Or no, not on the day it paid dividends, but leading into it. So woke up in the morning of, had a phenomenal sleep the night before. Like, went to bed at, I think, 8, slept the entire night through, woke up really early because you have to obviously feed and carb yourself hard, had all my carbs, had everything. Another beautiful girlfriend who lives up in Cairns, Shelby, she stayed over the night to support as well and come for the day. So the four of us walked to the transition, which is where we're going to start. I was going to start in the morning. There's a whole story around that. So I was so prepared, so ready. We get down to transition, 10 minutes to spare. I'm putting my bike computer on, putting my gels on my bike. And Georgie calls me and was like, now don't panic, but have you got your water bottles? And I did not have my water bottles. And she'd already sent Kyle back to the house, which was about, you know, maybe a 6 minute run, a 10, 15 minute walk. And in he pelts, comes Saint Kyle running to transition, like beaming smile with my 2 water bottles, which I absolutely freaking needed. Anyway, so crisis averted, so nervous. A vlog is coming. This is all fully vlogged. It was beautifully and brilliantly done by Kyle. And I get down to the water. I'm at that point, probably, I just remember how I felt. I can't even explain it. I was so nervous at this point, but so ready. It's like, it's this feeling of trepidation and exhilaration and terror mixed into one. And anyway, line up, bell rings, off I go. And I just remember hitting that water and I was like, this is it. Like, this is it. I'm doing it. Like, I'm fucking doing it. I'm doing the damn thing. And the swim was unreal. I PB'd in that. There was a wicked current. Swam against it, obviously, for quite a while, but then with it, and I absolutely maxed effort. But I just remember, and this was so important for me, like, I remember swimming. So in Cairns, just so you all know, there are warnings everywhere that, you know, beware of sharks. It's quite sharky, and crocodiles. And even all the locals think we're crazy. So the locals, when, you know, I was there a couple of days before and I swam in the ocean prior, and they were like, you know, there are crocodiles, like, you need to be careful. Anyway, I'm swimming out directly out to ocean in a wedding in my swim with sort of people around me. Like there's people, but you really do kind of take off or fall back, or do you know what I mean? You are quite, you can be isolated at some parts. And the sun was rising on, you know, when I came up for air, and I was just in blissful awe. I just remember actually stopping and taking it all in and getting really emotional, being like, I'm here, I'm doing it. Like I'm in the ocean, risks aside, like the sun is rising. This could not be more beautiful. And then I keep swimming and up and pop my head up, and there was a surf lifesaver. There was surf lifesavers scattered on their boards way out to sea. And I popped my head up at one point and he was there. And I said, you know, I just want to say thank you so much. I'm really grateful that you're keeping us safe. And he was like, thank you so much. That is the sweetest thing in the world. And he was like, get going, go, like stop talking to me. And so off I went. Anyway, came out of the water, and I just remember that's my favorite photo. So obviously there's professional photographers. You don't see that. I didn't see one, but there's this photo that was captured of me coming out of the water, and the sun is behind me, and it's like, I look ethereal. Like I just have this beaming smile on my face, and I was like, I just did it. I just thought, because swimming is my heart. I wasn't a swimmer. I'm not a good swimmer. I am now. Obviously, I do it a lot. But I just remember thinking, one leg down, the hardest leg for me, and I've done it. Like anything from here is kind of a bonus because I've done my swim. And that photo is my absolute favorite photo of the whole event. Actually, that and then crossing the finish line, of course. But just because I remember how I felt in that moment and how I felt coming out of the water. So run into transition, already busting for the loo. My transitions were super slow. I joked to my coach. I was like, mate, I had a roast dinner. I had a bottle of wine, but took off on the bike. And oh, like the bike, obviously it's 70% of the race. So 90 kilometers. And Cairns, just so you all know, because I'm a savage like this, Cairns is the second hardest Ironman course in Australia. So Port Macquarie is the hardest just for the bike, because just so you know, they measure hard off of the bike leg because that's 70% of the race. So Port Macquarie is the hardest, then Cairns. Now Busselton, just so you know, is the easiest. So I'm so excited to hit that course in December, hopefully. But yeah, so hit the bike, all's going well, 70, 80, 20 Ks into a tailwind. And I just remember getting, so there was a lookout. Now I looked the course up, like that is what you should do as a professional and responsible triathlete. You should always look your course up, just so you know. Always know your run route, always know your bike route, always know your swim route. Know how many laps you got to do, like you should always know that. So I'd looked it up, but I didn't want to look into it too much because Cairns is notorious for being hard, really hard. And I thought, I don't want to overwhelm or freak myself out. So I'm going to know kind of peaks and elevations and stuff like that and how many laps I have to do, which was just one, and what kind of the direction I have to go, which was out up to Port Douglas, come back and then into Cairns. But that's all I wanted to know. And so on the way up to Port Douglas, so you come out of Palm Cove, hook a right, if you know Cairns, hook a right and then bang it up to Port Douglas. And that was kind of easy. I was like, this is cool. This is like a little bit of a tailwind. The hills were savage, but I remember getting to the top of one particular one and a official was at the top and it was really hard. Like I'm not going to like fuck around with that. It was hard. And I got to the top and the official actually said, you know, congrats, that's the toughest one. And I was like, okay, cool. He's like, you just did Rex Lookout. And I was like, okay, cool. Woo. Like, right, if that's the hardest one, I've done it, you know. And then I thought, fuck, I got to come back up on the way back, but we can do this. Anyway, so ride on, and then I will never forget. So riding, and then I hook a corner, like, so it's like turning point. I was like, oh my God, turning point, fuck yes. Turn, it wasn't like, it was, you just turn and it was a brick wall. You just hit this wind of a brick wall. And I was like, shit, I've got 70 Ks to go and a lot of hills, including Rex Lookout. Anyway, this is the thing, you cannot get in your head about it. So off I go, I was like, I'm just going to do my best. And the best I did, this is kind of the first lesson. So I get back, now I don't know proximities. Like, I wasn't like, okay, in X amount of kilometers, I'm going to hit Rex Lookout or I'm going to hit this elevation. I didn't know, which was a gift realistically. But there was a point on the course, and this was the Rex Lookout, and I kind of knew, I was like, this has got to be the beast, where I get to that and it's unprotected. So it's just like wind. So you've got a crosswind and a headwind. Now, I was already pretty cooked. My legs were starting to get like lactic jungle. And I remember looking, and this is where it's a mental game. And there were a couple of guys, men, cleated out, so clipped out of their things next to their bike, aside the hill. It was so hard that they needed a break, men. Then there was a couple of girls that were basically going backwards, so, or not going anywhere. Like, they were pedaling and pushing, but they were just stuck in mud because the headwind and the crosswind was just so hard. And I was looking at all this and I was like, you got to dig, girl. Like, you just got to go. You cannot let this, like, don't let this get in your head. Don't think you can have a break. Anyway, don't think you can stop. Don't think about going backwards. Like, you've got this. Anyway, like, I get 3/4 of the way up the hill and I was done. I was like, I cannot go another fucking swings, whatever, like pedal, push. I cannot. I'm done. I'm going to uncleat. This is all pretty quick. I was like, I'm done. Uncleat. Move to the side. Take a breath. You know, you're not in this to win it, for goodness sake. Like, just take a breath. You know, you don't need to be a hero. And I remember, and this is why it's so important to go back, I think, and listen to my episode 52. I remember thinking beautifully in that moment, and I got really emotional. I was like, baby girl, you are made of hard things. Like, you've got this, push. And it was so big for me. And, you know, those that have listened to the episode know that this was the reclamation of my body, like just full official reclamation of my body and ownership of me and my body. And I remember thinking, like, you've had so much pain inflicted on you in all ways, but you couldn't control that. And you can fucking control this now. Push. Like, you're doing this to yourself. This is a gift. You are miraculous. Go. And it was God. Like, it was just out of nowhere. And I had a whole other gear, turns out. And I stood up. I wasn't even out of my saddle yet. I like got out of my saddle and I pushed. I started to overtake everyone on that hill. And men were cheering for me. They were like, go, go, go. Good hustle. Good push, 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 push. Because I was just gone. It was like, who is this girl? And then a couple of guys were like, it's the suit. I was in my Wonder Woman suit. They're like, it's the suit. I was like, yes. And I made it. I got to the top of that hill. I went about, I think it was 60 kilometers down it, which was terrifying. The fastest I've ever gone downhill is 50. So 60K down the hill, like winding. It's like a really windy hill. And I cried. I was crying. I just was like, this is it. And I like, this is why you're doing this. This is why you're in this. You've got this, girl. Like, you have fucking got this. Anyway, I get back to kind of where we turned to go to Port Douglas. Yeah. And that's like Palm Cove now to Cairns. So I'm like, oh my God, I've only got 20 kilometers to go, which was like life-changing. I was like, oh my God, 20 Ks. However, you're on the freeway at that point and just headwind. It's just fucking headwind. But I was like, I'm just going to go. I'm going to stick at this. We can do hard things. I've got this. And I was like, I'm not going to try and save myself for the run. My coach was just like, bury yourself. So again, I'm in the headwinds. It was absolutely savage. People were stopping, uncleating, going backwards. And I was just going. I just went. This is where I was like, I say baby girl, because I feel like it is such a beautifully powerful, healthy, masculine push. Putting your body, like, your body is not designed to do half Ironman and especially Ironman. So it is a very raw push, drive, like kind of masculine energy. So I talked to myself really sweetly to maintain that feminine, but I was just like, baby girl, you can do hard things. Come on, push, 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 push. And again, and this is why I love the sport so much, I was overtaking everyone and people were just like, go girl, good job. Oh my God, keep going, push, like push hard. I was like, thank you, you've got this. And then came the final couple of kilometers. So at this point in that last 20 kilometers, beautifully, and finally the crowds had started to gather, because they're obviously not on the way up to Port Douglas. It's just that it's impossible. It's kind of rainforesty. And so crowds had started to gather. And as I was running, and I'll never, ever forget this. So I was in a Wonder Woman suit. This was the absolute highlight of my race. And this cop who was directing traffic spots me probably like 800 meters away. Like, it was a good distance. And Wonder Woman clearly must be his like favorite Marvel character of all time. And he goes ballistic. So this cop, this traffic controller cop in the middle of the road, spots me, Miss Wonder Woman, on her bike, and he starts screaming, "Wonder Woman, fucking Wonder Woman, send it, fucking send it, Wonder Woman, go," like wailing like a legend, swearing at me like, "Fucking send it, Wonder Woman," completely stops directing traffic. Cars start honking. It's like this whole thing. Anyway, that was the last couple of kilometers. So I was like on, ladies and gentlemen, I was on. I was like, I burst into tears again. I just was like, I was like laughing and crying. I was in pain. I couldn't feel my legs. And this beautiful cop made my whole life, screaming, "Fucking send it, Wonder Woman." And then I'm getting closer, closer, closer. And the crowds are just insane at this point. So the crowds, I'm then entering like the run zone, so the 21K loop. So it was a 10.1 kilometer loop. And that's where the crowds are. Guys, holy hell. The crowds, oh, I'll get to that. But so I'm entering that, and then this, so I've just been told to fucking send it from a police officer, which was just the greatest moment of my life. Then I'm like pushing. And there is this group of people with this massive sign that says, "Ride it like a hoe." And I was like, I am done. This is the greatest day of my life. That cop deserves an award. These sign people deserve awards. So I started to just, I was like, right, girl, you have got, feel this energy. Let this fuel you. Be stoked, be happy, have joy, feel the gratitude. Cause I was like, girl, you've got a half a marathon ahead and you can't feel your legs. But I just remember coming into transition. So getting off the bike, I'd just been screamed at by the police officer beautifully, seeing legends with a "ride it like a hoe" sign. And I was like, yes, queens. And I'm off my bike smiling with this like shit eating grin. And then people, I think, because I was just so happy and ecstatic, like people were like screaming and just cheering for me. And I run in, I spot my beautiful besties. They're like, oh, I get emotional again. Like, you can't explain it unless you're in it and you've got the level of support that I felt on the day. But I spot Kyle, Georgie, and Shelbs, and they're emotional and they're screaming for me. And I run into transition. And I just had a moment. I had another moment. I had a roast dinner. No, I had a bottle of red. I'm high-fiving everyone in transition. I switch my shoes and I feel good. I actually feel okay, like lactic jungle, but I actually felt okay. And I remember, I can't even remember where this came from, but I think it came from another athlete somewhere else. Or but the joke, the running joke between Kyle, Georgie, and I, which I think we just created it, was, "It's just a little run. It's just a little swim." Oh no, that's right. I had met a woman prior when in a training session, and she said, "Oh, what are you training for?" And I said what I was training for. And she said, "Oh, it's just a little run, just a little swim, just a little bike, just a little Sunday bike." And I was like, yeah, okay, woman. Anyway, and then that became this beautiful lap mantra of mine. I'm like, it's just a little swim. Who the fuck cares? It's just a little bike. It's just a little run. So I come steaming out of transition, so bike to run, and I spot, of course, Georgie, Kyle, and Shelves, and I scream out with his shit-eating grin. I just was like, it's just a little run. And they were like cheering and screaming, and just it was like I felt bionic. I don't know, it was adrenaline mixed with energy, mixed with attitude, mixed with the crowds, mixed with good nutrition, good planning, good coaching, of course, all those things. But I felt bionic. The run was mine. I PB'd that half marathon like a boss. So I'd only done one prior and I'd wiped 3 minutes, I think, off the time. And I'd only done the half marathon, not a 90K bike and a 1.9K swim. But I just felt bionic. And they say with half Ironman that you get addicted, like, oh, when you do one or Ironman, like, oh, you'll do another one. And I was like, yeah, we'll see. Like, I'll know. And they say, no, like the race is addictive. I genuinely don't think it's the race. I think it's actually the crowd energy. Cause that's, I was just like in tears. I was, oh, like all the things from the crowd. And they are the fucking heroes of the day. Let me tell you, if there is ever an Ironman or half Ironman event in your city, go. Like, you guys are the real MVPs on the sidelines. So it's just unreal. So off I set on my run, absolutely smashing my pace goal. I did have a pace goal and I smashed it. I wanted to sub 2 hours in my half marathon. So like in my 21Ks, and I was doing like 5:10 to 5:30 minute Ks. And I just remember, so 0 to 10Ks, I felt bionic. I just was like, why didn't I do the full Ironman? I'm not even kidding you. This thought relentlessly crossed my mind. I was like, Anna, you're a fool. Like, why didn't you do the full Ironman? Like, you feel so good. This is insane. But then 10K hit and I started to just feel the pain in my hips and my feet. 10 to 15. And coach had said this to me. He was like, 0 to 10, adrenaline, energy, go. Fucking go. 10 to 15, like push even harder because that's when it's really going to start to hurt, begin to hurt. And then he said from 15 to 21, no matter if you've gone slow or fast, like try just like pace it or like push yourself, it's going to hurt the same. He was so right. And he was like, so just fucking bury yourself. How good a coach do I have, by the way? I need that masculine in my training. Yeah. So 15 to 21, my loves, I felt it. I felt every part of it, but I buried myself. I got my fastest kilometers in the 15 to 21, but just to back it up a little bit. And then obviously I finished, which I want to like compartmentalize and deconstruct and give you the lessons, but I will never forget. So obviously if you're listening to this and you're still listening to this, that means that you were a part of my journey in some way. You had some level of interest and commitment to the training that you would have watched me done on Instagram, or you've listened to the prior episode, or yeah, you tracked me on the day. I can't tell you how many thousands of people were tracking me and tagging me and cheering for me. And I just want to say, like, this is where I want to say, like, just thank you, because you were all the ones, the people that were like tagging me, and I saw all this before and I saw all this after. So with Ironman and half Ironman, you can download the app. And I gave everyone my number. So I'd shared all this in my stories and in posts and stuff. And you can track by GPS, because everyone, like athletes, we wear trackers basically. And you can track by GPS exactly where I am on the course at any one point, or any athlete. And I had thousands of people messaging, DMing me, texting me, PMing me, like, I've downloaded the app. Where go? Like, go, girl, go. I'm going to be cheering you on. And so coming into the day, you were like my angels. Like, I literally felt like I had wings and was flying, because I felt everything is energy. Everything is energy. And I cannot tell you how strong I felt that support and love. And it kind of crescendoed for me at 6.6 kilometers. I'll never forget. And I crossed, so when you're on the course as the athlete, when you cross a marker point, so it's a push notification to the app, there's certain areas where you cross like a bit of carpet and there's electronics or whatever, and it will beep at you. So you kind of always know, you're like, oh, okay, cool. Like, a push notification's just gone out on the app if anyone's following me. And I remember being on the run and I hit 6.6Ks and I saw it come in and I started to get really emotional, because I just thought, I just felt you all. Like, I can't explain it. I was like, fuck, I just feel everybody like willing me on and cheering for me. And I just didn't want to let you down. I can't explain it. I was like, you all matter so much to me. I was like, I cannot let them down. Anyway, I crossed this little bit of carpet and it beeped at me and I burst into tears. And I mean, like, like crying, happy tears, because I just thought, I felt every single one of you. And I really mean that. I was like, fuck, I am so supported and so held and so loved. And it matters so much to me. And I'm just so grateful. And all of these people, like all of the spectators around that were watching, And there was a couple of mums, you could tell them were mums, were like, oh, sweetheart, Wonder Woman, you're Wonder Woman, you've got this, go girl. And this woman started to kind of run beside me for a little bit. And she's like, darling, don't you worry, you've got this. Like, you should be so proud of yourself. And I'm like, no, I'm crying happy tears. Like, I'm just so proud. And it was just this beautiful moment of, I don't know, I hope that you felt that back, essentially, that your love and support to me on prior to the day, in the training sessions leading up to, on the day, and then of course after as well, honestly just meant more than I can ever say. I said to as many people as I could that were, you know, texting and messaging prior and during, you know, my response was, you don't understand how much your love and support got me over that finish line, especially for those that know, obviously 3 months up to the Ironman, I was dealing with, or the half Ironman, I was going through my separation, still am. And so it was just a lot. And just to know how held and seen that I was by you all meant the world. So when I then crossed that finish line, which if you were watching, that you would have seen, if you want to go back and see it, it is in my grid. So if you go back to kind of the June, beginning of June, you'll see me crossing, and I think it's like Iron Man. You'll notice I'm in a bloody Wonder Woman suit. You can't miss the post. But if you watched it live or you've watched it back, you'll know that when I hit that red carpet, I was hysterical. It wasn't like a couple of tears. I was sobbing, running down that carpet with my hand on my chest and just full-bodied emotion, you know, in absolute tears. Oh, I'll get emotional. And it's just, I remember thinking, like, this is it for me. I just thought it was such a reclamation and declaration to myself. It was my love letter to myself. It was the reclamation of my body and just fully unconditionally. And crossing that line, like I said at the very start, I just thought, like, oh, it just mattered so much to me. I thought, you know, I'm crossing this line a different woman, and I'm so fucking proud of myself. And I did, I did it. And then this was, I think, the most emotional part. So we go back. And this is, I think, the key thing that I learned, and I'll get emotional, but I'll never forget coming out of the athlete area where we recover, and Georgie, Kyle and Shelby were standing there, and Georgie just ran to me and was hysterical, sobbing, and just was so overcome with emotion and wrapped me in the biggest hug and was just like, I'm just so fucking proud of you. And Kyle was crying and Shelby was crying and we were all crying. And I just thought, you know what? We cannot get through life without friends. And we cannot get through life without that support. And we cannot get through life without family and friends that become family. And I didn't cross that line individually. I crossed that line with you all. I crossed that line because of them. I crossed that line because of Morgs. Prior to that, my ex, he was incredible in supporting me until we separated. And that was just such a big heartfelt lesson for me, that at the end of our goal attainment, at the end of our lives, at the end of, you know, big achievements, what we really have to show for it, I truly believe, it wasn't the medal that I got to take home. It was the friendships that were fostered and the support that was given and just shown that unconditional love and support. And from strangers on the freaking internet, like, you all were a part of my journey as much as any best friend or family member or anything like that. Just your love, your support, your engagement, your care, your interest, your fire, the way that you all like watched live, it just meant the absolute world to me. And I remember the big lesson after is, if you'd followed me during that time, one of my big things in triathlon is that, borrowing it from Glennon Doyle, is we can do hard things. And that's gotten me through a lot of triathlons. I've just repeated that to myself over and over again. Come on, Annie, we can do hard things. But this half Ironman, I took it and made it my own, because I remember thinking as I was, you know, PBing a half marathon after a 90K ride and a 1.9K swim, we can do hard things, of course, but we can fucking do amazing things as well. We can do amazing things. We can do hard things, but we can do amazing things. And we are destined and born for greatness, even if it's small acts or small roles or whatever it is, we can do amazing things. And that is what I took away from this half Ironman. Obviously, the total declaration and reclamation of self, an absolute fire and passion for the sport more than ever, triathlon. Gratitude in, you know, the depths of my heart and soul for friendships and relationships, but the new identity and ideology that we can do amazing things. And my love of move like you love yourself only became cemented more. So that is my journey. That is like kind of what was going on in my head from the swim to the bike, to the run, to the after recovery rise. I always get asked this and Kyle laughed at me the next day. He's like, how are you feeling? And I was like, really good. I feel fine. I'd done a lot of the distances in training. So I did have sore quads, but that was really it. I had a sauna session, a bike the next day, and I was back into it. So good mindset, good coaching, good training, good nutrition, and we can do amazing things, baby. So yeah, I'm back though. I really wanted to record this episode to tie it in a bow, to kind of link episode 52 and 53 together. And now from here on out, I'll be back weekly. I'm so excited. Triathlon season is about to start in a month. I have plans to do my second half Ironman in Busselton in December, December 5th, if, you know, we're allowed to travel and McGowan opens the borders and all those things. But regardless, I'm going to train like I can. So come along for that ride. If you're new around here to the podcast or to my Instagram, if that's kind of how you found the podcast, then yeah, you'll have a lot of fun, I hope. I train pretty hard. I love to move like I love myself and always take you along for the journey. So come along for it. Remember that we can do amazing things and move like you love yourself. Thanks so much for tuning in. And as always, I truly hope you got something out of this episode that you can use to challenge your own status quo. If you liked what you heard, it would mean so much to me if you shared this episode on your socials to help get this podcast more out in the world. Don't forget either to tag me personally at @AnnaRose_Richards so I can thank you personally. If you're also loving the conversations, leaving a review on iTunes by going to the podcast, scrolling down and clicking leave review will help even more amazing humans that need to find me, find me. As always, I am eternally grateful that you're tuning in. And until the next episode, know that I am always cheering on your sovereignty and success.